Jake,
Brandon,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of The Writer's Block. My name is Brandon Morehouse.
And I'm Jake Flukiger.
And this week, we're going to be talking about comedy. How do you write something funny? Jake, where can people listen to us at?
Well, you can go over to podbean.com and, you know, give us a like, give us a follow, give us a comment. Or you can listen to us on any of the streaming platforms.
Yes, and don't forget to follow us on there as well. Also, we have a new group, don't we?
On Facebook?
Yeah. Sounds so reassuring on that one there, Jake. Like,
so reassuring on that Facebook? One.
Yes, we have a Facebook group for anyone that's out there that's not on Twitter that would like to be a part of this community. It's growing very quickly. I think our Facebook group is, I don't even know, we're pushing 500 followers or people in the group.
Brandon, how has your week been?
You know, it's been a weird week for me. I've been doing this new fitness thing.
And how's that new fitness thing going?
Well, it's going well. I mean, it's just, you know, I already meal prepped and worked out before that, but now I have this trainer that's like, here's the nutrition you need to be eating, and here's the workouts you need to be doing. And I'm struggling with rice. I love rice, but I got to figure something else out with it. And the rice works. I just have to, it's like a minute rice, so it should be ready to go in just a couple minutes, but
it's undercooked.
It's undercooked.
And every single crunchy rice.
Yeah, and I don't. So this weekend I'm going to play with it and experiment and go from there.
I like that.
Yeah. Jake, how's your week been? You're on break, right?
I am. It is spring break, and so I am off work. I was helping my sister-in-law move from their house to a rental while their new house is being built. And I might have overdone it by being the guy in the truck, passing everything out of the truck to other people.
Oh.
And I did that for 2 truckloads. And so my back is like freaking out.
Well, I mean, you're like, what, 45?
Rude. Rude.
Not that saying that you can't do it, but.
Well,
I'm just going to leave it at that.
You just leave it at that, and we'll have a discussion later, young man.
You can say that, because I'm like half your age.
You are not half my age. Give me a break. You are not even that much younger than I am.
I'm still younger.
You
always
are.
No matter what, I will always be younger than you.
That is true.
That's true. All right, so before we get into tonight's episode, we have to do our usual. We have to do our off-topic topic.
Yay!
I wish we had some, like, intro music to that, where it's like, bam, 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 but I don't know.
I mean, I could play around with the sound effects.
I'm good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's my week to, for those of you that don't know, each week one host will ask the other host about a topic they know nothing about, and and this week it's my turn, because I literally just thought of it. Like,
oh my gosh, you are so dork.
I don't prep when it comes to this. So, in a past episode, we have talked about this thing, and it's comical to me, and I know people take it very seriously, and I don't mean to make fun of them by any means, because I'm not. I would go to a show of it, and I would just have a blast. I know I would. It is called hobby horsing.
Yep.
Now, Jake, I sent you a video earlier this week.
You did?
Can you tell the listeners, describe that video to them, and tell me whether you think that could be the future of hobby horsing or not?
It was these little kids playing around with their stick horses, but instead of like moving themselves, they were on ripsticks.
Hoverboards.
Yeah, hoverboards. Like, it was ridiculous.
I mean, they were flying. They were
yeah. And
they were in like the living room and they were moving around stuff and they were just zooming around in circles. I thought it was hilarious.
Now, here's the only problem with that as far as the future of hobby horsing is that horses have different gaits. And part of hobby horsing is that you need to show the appropriate gait and to show that you are on the appropriate lead if you are in the canter.
Oh, I need you. Okay, so for those that don't know, what is a gait?
Like walk, trot. Like it's just the different speeds and the movement of their legs.
Okay.
It's timing-wise, like it's a... Like a walk is a 4-beat gait because they have each foot lands at a different time.
Okay. So I want the listeners to go and see if you can find this video. It's on my page. I tagged you in it, Jake, so it should be on yours as well somewhere.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. These little girls just zooming around. I mean, they did not. It was like nothing for them.
They balance so well. They balance so well.
I just think it could be the future of hobby horsing, which if you've never seen pictures and videos of hobby horsing, I definitely recommend it. It'll bring you a smile.
So much joy.
So much joy. So let's get on with tonight's show. Jake.
Yes.
What is comedy?
The absence of tragedy.
Oh, wow. You went very technical on that one. Okay, cool.
That was totally a joke.
It was such a dry joke. It was so dry.
I use dry humor.
Jake likes his British humor.
I do.
I mean, I can appreciate British humor too, but yeah. Anyways. So Jake, how does somebody write comedy?
So the long and short of that is like, let's take a book first. Okay. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Perfect. Perfect.
That book is full of humor, full of like laugh out loud moments where you're just like, are you kidding me? And it's done really, really well. And because it's done well, a lot of people are like, oh, I could totally write that. I can write comedy into my books. And then they try to do it. And they burn in a volcano of shame and guilt for realizing that they do not understand how to do it.
Well, I think when I think of comedy, especially in writing, it's extremely difficult because a lot of comedy is visual, right? I see that. And it's hard when there's no tone and you're just kind of interpreting it. It's a little bit of a different beast, right? A little bit more so.
Yeah, it is. Comedy is very difficult to write. And... just because it's difficult doesn't mean you shouldn't attempt it. I think that starting out, it's really easy to have a great story and have comedic moments.
Yes.
To actually write comedy is much more difficult.
That's a whole different set. That's a skill.
It is a skill. And there are people who are absolutely marvelous at it. And there are, you know, people who think they're marvelous at it. And those are two very different groups.
Like, I like to think I'm funny.
Oh, you're funny. You are funny, Brandon.
But, I mean, I'm not everyone finds me funny.
I am funny in a very dry way, and not everybody finds me funny.
Well, and that brings up my next point.
Which is?
There's different types of humor.
And certain types of humor is not for everybody.
Right. Different regions have different types of humor. Now, I think of like British humor, and British humor is very dry and witty, whereas American humor is not. It's very slapstick.
That was great. It is.
I mean, am I wrong? I'm not wrong on that. No.
Like, you're not wrong. I was going to say, because like the Three Stooges is as American as American can get, and it's all slapstick, and I hate it.
Oh, see, I love a good slapstick.
I have to be in the right mood.
If it's done well, it's hilarious. If it's not, it's like, ugh, God, this is just horrific to watch.
So what makes something funny then? Like, how do you write something that's funny without it seeming like you're trying too hard?
You know, I think you just, it's all about setting the scene, right? And depending on your character, how they would handle. I think situational humor in a book works really well, where it's like kind of ironic or something like that, right? It's just normal everyday stuff works really, really well. Something that might happen to me, I don't find funny, but somebody on the outside looking in would find hilarious, right? Like, I can't even think of one right now. It's just like, Jesus Christ, like, that just fucking happened. I can't believe that's just my normal day. It's like, well, that just happens. And a good example of that is like if someone's standing on the side of the road in the rain and a car splashes them. Like, what the fuck? Like, it gets a little chuckle. Right.
That's the point, is like it has to be everyday situations, things that are normal. The other side of that is to do things that are pretty extreme. Like in one of my favorite children's books, Matilda, the trench bowl is hilarious to me. Like, so funny to me because she's so extreme. Like, who picks up a kid by their braids and throws them over a fence?
I mean, her, obviously.
Duh. Obviously, but...
But that fits for her character. I wouldn't go out of my way to write something like that unless it fit for the character as well.
Yeah.
Because the comedy has to be done in a way that it works for the character and the story.
Comedy is second. A good story is first. A good character is first. Comedy is second.
Yes.
And it just has to happen organically. And organic comedy is hard to write. Again, if you haven't noticed just yet, comedy is hard to write and to do it well.
And yeah, to do it well. I mean, I could write it.
I'm sensing that dry humor, Jake.
I don't know what you're talking about, Carolyn.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Jake sometimes thinks he's funny and it just dies flat in the water. I love him for that.
It does happen.
That's me every day of my life.
So. See, Carolyn and I just get along. We're so good at this. So we're just going to have our dry little humor that nobody else understands, and we'll be fine.
When Jake tries to, like, tell a joke, I just kind of roll.
I can tell jokes. I can.
I can, yeah. Okay.
I might it and be a little off base.
I bought a book for my dad last year for Christmas.
Okay,
and it was a book of dad jokes.
That is awesome.
That is completely different than what we're talking about here, where it's situational comedy. But how does, like, if you put a dad joke in there, like dad jokes, I love dad jokes. I think they're freaking hilarious, and I'm not even a dad. But how would you put some like that sort of thing into a book?
Well, so I think that the key to remember is that a punchline, which is basically what dad jokes are, is puns and punchlines and things, is all about surprise.
Okay.
It might not be a huge surprise, but it's something that catches your reader off guard. And so putting in things that are surprising, something that goes off base a little bit, is the key to having that joke land or to having that funny moment. I have a critique group friend who is really, really clever at writing comedic moments. She's just so good at it. And so she has gone out and proposed a class on comedy for different writing conferences. And her class has been picked up by quite a few. So she's going to be out there teaching comedy.
Love that.
And it's awesome. It's so cool. She does it so amazingly well. And part of it is that she never points it out. It just happens as part of a scene. And it really is about the surprise. You get going in this scene and all of a sudden there's this one-liner that comes up and you're like, oh my gosh, that was hilarious. And you can't help but chuckle.
Well, and I think, again, that has to work for that character where they're, if you, and we'll play into like that sassy gay friend, right? Okay. That's always just has like that quick wit. It worked for them, right?
Brandon,
what?
Describing yourself is not teaching these people.
I don't have a quick wit. I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh, whatever.
Uh-huh, sure, Dan. Sure, Dan.
Wow. So what I'm hearing you say is that you are playing into character stereotypes and tropes and kind of turning them on their head.
I don't want to say playing into stereotypes because I don't like doing that for characters, but comedy is a kind of a different world in that aspect, right? Where it's like you poke fun, but like in a non-threatening way. I don't believe it. I mean, I don't like stereotypes because I don't like to put on me and I don't like to put them on other people. So I don't want anyone to think that that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know.
No. I get it. I know what you're saying. I think it boils down to like, let me rephrase that. Instead of stereotypes, how about cliches?
I think a cliche would be a better term for that.
And then you have, so then you have your tropes and stuff. So you have, which we've done a whole other episode on dealing with tropes and everything and how to lean into them. But knowing your genre really, really well, knowing those tropes that are part of your genre can really help you have some comedic moments.
Right.
I think this works really well for like romantic comedies. Don't even start with me.
Ugh, gross.
You're so ridiculous. I think you just need to like not.
Finish your thought, Jan.
Wow. So you
can now, now, me. Brandon.
Girl, calm down.
you can take, you know, the meet cute moment and totally flip it around and have it be something that's rather shocking, that's rather surprising.
Right.
Well, I know that this is a horrible example because it's not supposed to be funny. But the movie Meet Joe Black, where Brad Pitt gets, like, they have their meet cute moment and he turns around to look at her and then gets hit by the car.
Oh my God.
I laughed at that. I love that movie too. I did.
Yes, I did.
Because it's a shock. It's a surprising, funny thing that's like, are you kidding me? Where's the story supposed to go now?
So it wasn't more of like a reactionary, like, oh my God, they just did that. It was more of a, well, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
See, I laughed because I've never seen the movie and I was like, well, I would have laughed at the unexpectedness.
Exactly. And part of that is comedy. It might be a little bit of dark humor for those of us that did laugh at it, but that is part of comedy, is having those really kind of little surprise moments that kind of catch you off guard.
Y'all are sick. Sick.
Oh, give me a break.
I can't even say that because Jake knows some of the stuff I've laughed at.
Oh, I'm very, very aware of the stuff that you have laughed at. And We just won't even go there.
No,
we won't. I think that, again, it goes back to people have different senses of humor. And so, like, Brandon loves the movie Santa Jaws.
God, yeah.
And Santa Jaws is supposed to be a horror, but it's done so badly.
It's so bad.
That it's funny. It's funny. And I'm saying this. I've watched Santa Jaws. It was ridiculous. But there are parts that you're like, really? Seriously? And you just kind of chuckle at because...
It's so absurd. I think that's the point that you're trying to make is sometimes you just... If you write a scene, you're like, this is just going to be so absurd. It's going to be ridiculous. But then I think of like a classic, Mel Brooks, Young Frankenstein, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's a take on Frankenstein, right? So it's like, well, let's just add a little bit of comedy into it and like, oh, Frankenstein's dancing or Frankenstein's monster's dancing. And he's just got these little offhand comments. So putting those into a story, I think, is a great idea. I've been watching a lot of Golden Girls lately. And I love the little one-liners.
The one-liners are what makes that show so funny.
And I think that is hard to do in a book. But it can be done. It's just because then you have to spend all the time like writing, setting the scene. You have to set the scene appropriately because you can't like stop in the middle of the joke to explain something, right? You have to like, here's the joke. And that's where we as writers, I think it gets a little bit harder. So to say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
You're saying it beautifully.
Okay. Beautifully. Okay.
Beautifully.
Beautifully.
That's all I have to say about that. What you're trying to get at, though.
Shut up. Em has her hand up.
Oh, sorry.
Do I have permission to speak?
Yes.
You don't even have to raise your hand. I just keep talking, and it's my bad. I just ramble sometimes.
I think sometimes it can also, the comedy can come into play when you play into your character's personality. Like one of my favorite lines with one of my characters was when Luca is kind of coming down off of a high and he's kind of got the munchies, but he's also Colombian who was raised in Louisiana. So when he gets drunk or high, he gets the Spanish New Orleans kind of thing going on.
Okay.
So he was asked, he said, Gavin asked him, he said, are you hungry, Luca? And he says, I could eat the north end of a southbound polecat. And you can just imagine that in that accent. So, you know, that's a funny little moment that was just, I mean, only he could have pulled it off.
It wouldn't have worked for any of your other characters.
But like another scene where Brody is very dry. And so he meets Rusty for the first time, who is this like 6'5" lineman size dude. And he describes him as being as warm and cuddly as rough cut lumber.
Oh.
But then the room gets very, very, you know, kind of stuffy. And he said he could hear his own heartbeat, maybe even the heartbeat of the fruit fly flying around, although the company of the fruit fly was more amicable.
I love it.
So.
And it all works out for your characters and for the situations that you've put them in.
Right. And, you know, when you have deep subjects and subjects that get, you know...
heavy.
Yes. Breaking those up into some lighter moments, even if it's at your character's expense and making fun of them a little bit, I think, helps.
I agree. I agree. I think humor helps to alleviate some of that heaviness, because just like we don't want, if there is constant action in our story and there's not any down moments where there's a lull, the action doesn't hit. Right. And the same thing goes for things that are heavy. Those topics are too much to have in mass quantity, so you have to break it up a little bit. And you do that with the opposite of the thing that you're doing.
I mean, Brody's black, so he walks into a biker bar that's mostly white. And so he gets into a confrontation with the lead biker. And he says, well, if I wanted to commit suicide, I'd just crawl up your ego and jump down to your IQ.
God damn.
Speaking of people that write comedy well.
That's
a good job.
Am apparently does a pretty good job with that. Good on her.
Brandon.
Jake.
There is a very, very, very famous writer who was a master of comedy.
Okay.
And he was also a master of tragedies.
Okay.
Do you know who this person is?
Ooh, Alfred Hitchcock?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was really good at horror and like thriller stuff.
Come on now. Can I guess?
Yes, you can guess.
Shakespeare?
Yay!
Nope.
Oh, I wasn't even close. Not even close.
We're not even close.
Shakespeare's not my favorite, but yeah. Comedy and tragedy.
Carolyn's like, Brandon, are you serious?
Like, oh my god, seriously.
Come on. I expect better out of you.
Shakespeare wrote comedies, and he wrote them really, really well. And again, it boils down to characters that were put into situations where their personality made things awkward. Just funny situations with juxtapositions of characters that would never normally act the way that they do, but because of the situation, they're all of a sudden turned on their head.
So, okay, so what is it about that makes his so... Because I'm not a big Shakespeare person. I'm not. What is it about that makes it so much, so funny?
I think a lot of it ends up being like that. Let's take like the Taming of the Shrew, where this kind of wild, out of control woman is kind of like a predecessor to Pygmalion and My Fair Lady.
Okay.
And so you get this just awkward situation where we're trying to get this girl to act a little bit more kosher for the time period.
Okay.
And because of that, you got her in this situation where everything that she does is hilarious because it's so wrong and so opposite.
Can we talk a little bit about Mercutio as well?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
go for it.
Because the idea, right, is Romeo and Juliet is pretty tragic, but it's still tragic that, and you've got these kids that are being kids, and you've got this goofball in the middle of it. Like you guys were talking about before, breaking up the tragic moments and the serious moments of this 14-year-old having an existential crisis. and so you've got Mercutio in here being an entire goofball, and then he dies. And it's almost more striking, and he's kind of still this really beloved character because he was the comic relief, but he's also a real kid that he was just being in character.
And that's the thing, is he leans into the fact, like Shakespeare leans into the fact that they were kids. Like, and there's this great sense of drama, like so dramatic in all the things that they do. Mercutio just takes it to a fun level, though.
Okay. See, I haven't read Shakespeare since I was in junior high, but that's a really good example, if I'm remembering correctly. So thank you, Sam, for that. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. No worries.
So, Jake, what's a more recent book, comedy book, that you've read? Have you read any?
Ooh, so, Brandon, you're going to groan about this, but I love rom-coms. I love to read rom-coms. They're so marvelously wonderful, and they just have such fun moments, and they're okay. So cute, and I love it.
I will lean into that, because I'm not a big rom-com person, and I haven't been reading any comedy books lately. So, Jake, what is it about those that make them funny to you?
So much of it is just one-liners and characters being put in situations that they are uncomfortable in. And one that I really like is 10 Things That Never Happened is a great one. It's an LGBT rom-com that's just, it's adorable. It's so cute. And it's the main character is spending a day with his boss because his boss doesn't think he's doing a good job. And he ends up hitting his head and faking amnesia, and the boss freaking out because he doesn't want to get sued. And so he's taking care of this employee at his own house.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And that's what I'm saying. It's so funny.
It makes me think of Weekend at Bernie's.
I've never seen that.
Oh my God. So Weekend at Bernie's is about this guy that it's these like two kids, but they're not. They work for this guy and he ends up dying. And they're trying to climb up the corporate ladder. And they're having this party at his house. Well, he dies. So then they have to pretend like he's awake. So they're like moving his dead body all over the place. And they're pretending to like talk to him. And it's hilarious because it's like, that's not how that would work. Like, I mean, it goes on like a weekend. Clearly, a Weekend at Bernie's. Like that, and his body's all like, they tie him on rope and they make him like wave and stuff like that. It's hilarious in that aspect that...
And you think Joe Black getting hit is not funny?
I didn't say it wasn't funny. I just said y'all are twisted.
But it's things like that where you take a normal occurrence and you switch it up. Because death is not supposed to be funny. Like, death is not supposed to be hilarious. And it is. It is so funny when you do it right. There's
like Throw Mama from the Train.
I've never seen that one either.
Oh my God, it's a classic.
It is too. It is hilarious.
I've never seen that one.
I have a favorite comedy about death that is called Waking Ned Divine. It's an older foreign film, but it is so funny. Their friend dies and he has a winning lottery ticket. And so the whole entire town's in on this like scam to say that one of the friends is Ned Devine. And it's hilarious. It's so funny.
Okay. So I don't even know like where to go now because I had something in my mind, and I'm like, it's gone. It's just gone. Like, I don't.
It's okay.
I think, like, when you think of a lot of comedies, the more I think about it, it's like, that's funny because, like you said, it's so absurd. Like, that's not how that would work out at all, but they're doing it from a comedic stance, so that's what makes it funny. Because if it were serious, it's like, well, that's not, I can't take you seriously right now. Like, I think of like Santa Jaws, right?
Yeah.
If it were trying to be a serious movie, it would be horrible.
It would have fallen flat.
It falls flat, but because they're like, it's, I don't even know if it's supposed to be a comedy, but I say it's a comedy because it's just so absurd. So yeah,
So Brandon.
Yes.
You have a book that has been put on the back burner.
Yes.
That is comedy.
I do. I have some weird stuff that happens in my life that is just so absurd that Jake knows some of the stories, and it's definitely been put on the back burner, but that's the one I want to work on after I get done with this current one. But it's situational kind of humor, where the book's called Fork in the Toaster. And it's just about weird things in my life that have happened that in the moment they weren't funny, but afterwards they were. My favorite from that book, and I'll tell you that story real quick, is when I went skydiving, right, Jake? I went skydiving for my birthday, and I'm like sitting on the plane and I don't know, do I want to go? I'm the first one out. And they're like, if you aren't going to do it, you have to tell us now. I look over and there's like this 70-year-old lady sitting next to me. And I look at her and I was like, oh, you're going to jump? She's like, yeah, my kids got it for me for my birthday. So in my mind, I'm like, well, if she jumps, I can jump. But I'm first, so I have to go. I jump. We land and I'm standing there waiting for everybody. And I see her land behind me and she comes walking up and I look at her and said, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. She says, my teeth fell out though. So in the middle of this cornfield somewhere in the middle of Kansas, there's this set of dentures that she lost. And she's like, they told us to make sure everything was secure, but I thought my dentures would hold.
I
was just thankful I wasn't behind her. Cause if you were going to smack.
See, this is why I love it when editors tell me that when they're reading something, oh, this wouldn't happen in real life. I'm like, have you been in real life?
Just because it doesn't happen in your life doesn't mean it doesn't happen in mine.
Yeah, I've got...
I mean, sometimes real life is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, it's just...
it is.
Why?
But I love that title, by the way,
Oh,
Brandon.
Thank you. It's...
I definitely picked that up.
Yeah, I had to tell somebody one time not to stick a fork in a toaster, and that's another story. That
my favorite, Brandon, is the lady that came into the restaurant and wanted it dairy free.
Yeah,
if I remember that right.
Yeah, so she waiting tables is a different weird shit happens all the fucking time, and this has always been like, I'm putting these stories on paper so they're there, but when I get to a certain point. The story, it's just a bunch of short stories. It's like an anthology, right? So she comes in and she's like, oh, I want to, you know, have a milkshake. And so I make her this milkshake, ice cream, milk, whipped cream. Hand it to her. She goes, oh, you put whipped cream on top. And I was like, oh, yeah. And she goes, I'm lactose intolerant. What the fuck? The best part was that
the ingredients in a milkshake.
The whipped cream's non-dairy, so the whipped cream would be fine. Like, I was like, okay. So I went and I took off the whipped cream and I handed it back to her, and God bless. That's all I can say. Like, good.
And she
slurped luck.
It down.
Like, it's three ingredients.
And also, the name itself says milk.
Well, and this was, you have to remember, this was before, like that, I don't want to say that was a thing, but before it was more mainstream, like non-dairy milk and lactose-free milk, like before that was very common. So it was definitely like that wasn't even an option at that time. So there's just, it's just a bunch of little stories. And Jake, you've clearly read through it, and I don't know if you laughed at it or not, but it's. I've had a couple people.
There were certain stories in there that I cracked up.
It's definitely
hilarious.
Yeah, that's going to be my next one. My dad was asking me about that, and I thank God have my dad's sense of humor, and him and I are always just cracking up, laughing about. Random. Like he was joking with me today. He was working on a hearse. I said, "Well, Dad, why don't you climb in the back of it and just take a nap?" He's like, "You know, that's a good idea."
Again, with the Meet Joe Black comment.
I'm like, what the hell? Like, he's like, my luck, they'd shut the door and lock me in there. Okay, Dad. Like, so, yes, but I wonder if, like, that type of humor, or, like, we'll go with an easy one for Americans. Fart jokes.
I was just going to bring that up. There are so many people that enjoy, like, what my mom always called bathroom humor.
It's people love, and I don't feel like that's very common throughout the rest of the world, but we as Americans.
In America, just love it.
We are lowbrow on that aspect. Like, so I don't know if you could have a bestseller if you're going to be doing a bunch of fart jokes, like a worldwide bestseller.
I don't know. Like, Diary of a Wimpy Kid and Captain Underpants have done marvelously well.
Yeah, I've never read either of those.
Wow. Just wow.
What? I'm.
Yeah, but Brandon's not a middle grade reader, right? Like, you. That's not.
But your he should be.
Thank you, Caroline. It's about time someone stood up with me. Like, Jesus, everyone's always defending Jake. Shit.
See, I think Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and I'm like, nope. Can't do it.
I have no desire. Yep. No desire.
And you are allowed to have no desire. It's just like, for me, I don't enjoy, like Carolyn said, I don't enjoy like slapstick bathroom humor type of stuff.
Right.
It's just funny to me. Like, I do not have, somehow I grew up without the sense of humor of a teenage boy.
Well, I'm not even going to comment on that one.
Thank you for that.
Sometimes no joke is better than a joke at all. Like, read the room, right? Like, know your setting.
Jay, you're a little on the posh.
You're side. a little British.
We'll say
it like that.
I wish I was more British.
But you are, Carolyn. We have the same sense of humor, so.
I'm not. I'm very, like.
Well, in my whip, I'm trying to have my male main character be, like, you know, kind of witty, sarcastic. But he's turning more into, like, a Fraser Crane, and I have to dial it back.
I like Fraser Crane. I like Fraser. That show's funny.
That show is hilarious.
I think that's just great. Does every story need like that comic relief?
I think every once in a while in a story there needs to be a little funny moment. I think you can do that in almost any story. And I think that it's, again, it can happen really organically. It doesn't have to be much. And maybe it's not a like shoot milk out your nose type laugh out funny, but it can be something that somebody just kind of smirks or smiles or gets a little chuckle out of.
Right. I'm thinking of one right now, and I thought it was done really well, and I don't remember if it was in the book or it might have been Lord of the Rings, right?
Okay.
And it's kind of a cultural kind of comedy clash, right? Is it Aragorn is taking the hobbits? He's running with the hobbits. And they're like, we need to stop. We need to eat. Right? And he's like, it's second breakfast.
It's like second breakfast. I have a man that Marion took in. What about second breakfast?
Carolyn, you broke up there. I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I have a magnet of Merry and Pippin, and they both, it's when they're fighting the orcs, but they both look devastated, and they're like, what about second breakfast?
Right. It's that, like, well, that's funny, because they just want second breakfast. Like,
Yes, it's
like they, it's that little bit of a culture clash where it's like, you don't understand this? That's weird. Like, that's kind of funny. And somebody looking in would kind of, would find that fun, would find that humorous.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm gonna go on with one of my favorite British comedies of Keeping Appearances.
Of course he would like that one. Of course he would.
Oh gosh, Hyacinth Bouquet is the funniest person in the world.
Wait, what's her last name?
Bouquet.
Isn't it Bucket?
Well, that's how it's spelled, but nobody actually wants to be that. You gotta class things up a little bit.
Well, that's the comedy part, right? Where it's like it's actually pronounced Bucket, but she calls it Bouquet.
Right. I find that entire show just hilarious. Like, all of it is just wonderful to me.
I think that show's cute. I don't know about hilarious for my sense, but I'm more of like an ab fab, absolutely fabulous.
Okay, okay.
Where they're doing all like drugs and drinking and just crazy shit like that. Like, and that is more my type of humor.
And here's what I wonder. Of the British shows, have you seen Red Dwarf?
I fucking love Red Dwarf. Love it. And see, I love that show.
I watch Red Dwarf and I sit there and I like...
You can't stand it.
There are parts that are funny, but I don't... It's just not that great to me.
Well, and I think with British humor, it's difficult in its own aspect for us as Americans because they're using terminology that we don't know what they're saying, and then they are spitting off a mile a minute, right? They're just going. Yeah. Now, another one that I really enjoy, and I've yet to find it anywhere to watch it, is Are You Being Served?
Oh, I love Are You Being Served.
Loved Are You Being Served. Those Keeping Appearances is good. Red Dwarf is amazing. I, in fact, wanted to go as the hologram or the robot.
You did not?
For Halloween. I did. Yeah, absolutely I did.
That's awesome.
That's originally why I shaved my head. And then AbFab is amazing. It's a gay icon show. And then, I mean, there's just Are You Being Served? It's just hilarious because it's another gay icon show. But, yeah, I think those shows are just, I could watch them. I'll probably watch Red Dwarf tonight now that you mention it.
Thank you for all the recommendations to my watch list.
Oh, Carolyn, you're going to find them hilarious.
You will.
Well, I mean, I know it's a gay movie, but Red, White, and Royal Blue, the beginning scene with that cake.
So good.
Oh, my God. That was like, I was rolling. My stomach hurt so bad. I was laughing.
I've never seen it.
They have some marvelous moments in that movie, and the ones in the book
absolutely are... It was so well done.
Yeah, the Red, White, and Royal Blue is a marvelous rom-com. Like, the book is so good.
I hadn't read the book, but I watched the movie and I laughed hard so many times.
Yeah, the comedy is just brilliant.
I just wanted to say that my favorite like gay rom-com movie, The Birdcage. Hands down.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is absolute perfection.
Brandon, have you seen that one?
I have. I mean, you can never go wrong with Robin Williams.
It's true.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I noted some hesitance in your voice, Brandon.
Never. Never. That one's great. I was just thinking Mrs. Doubtfire as well, though.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, so let's take Mrs. Doubtfire. What makes Mrs. Doubtfire funny? Anybody?
Well, for the time, you know, a woman dressing in a man dressing in drag was unusual.
Right, and there's, for me,
this movie took place in what, the 80s?
No, early 90s, I'd say.
Yeah, early 90s.
But, I mean, it is the drag aspect, like Robin Williams is a man dressed as an old woman. And the parts of that movie that are funny to me are when there's one part where he's walking, you know, to wherever, and a guy runs by and grabs his purse. And Robin Williams, you know, grabs the purse back, grabs the guy, and he's like, "Back off, asshole," in a man voice. And the robber's like, "Whoa," and he runs away. So it's little moments like that that pop up through the movie that are hilarious.
I think another one, and this one's good for writers because it's that kind of that taking a person out of their normal time and putting them in a different time and how that kind of chaos pursues is Hocus Pocus, right?
Yeah.
You got three witches that are not used to modern times, the original one, not the sequel. The sequel was crap. But it's that they're like walking on a road. They're like, what is this, right? Just those little things that can, A, build on the character, and B, it's funny to us, right? So that's
similar thing is like rom-com, like Kate and Leopold, like he comes to the future and is like trying to figure stuff out. We find stuff like that hilarious,
right?
Like Encino Man is another one of
my favorite cartoons, Futurama.
Okay,
that one, Jake. Have you ever seen Futurama?
I've seen a couple of episodes here and there.
I think you would enjoy it because it's crude, but it's not like offensively crude. I mean, it's Matt Groening. He does The Simpsons, so it's like,
yeah.
It's pretty tame by modern standards, but I think it's hilarious, and I love it. But yeah, you're taking that person out of their time and putting them in a different time, in a different era, and it's like, oh, this is funny because they're just trying to survive.
Basically. And again, I think it's funny that we keep bringing up so many movies and TV shows as part of comedy. But again, like you said at the beginning, Brandon, it is so much easier to show,
right,
have visuals for comedy than to write them.
Yeah, that's I can't think of. I mean, there's scenes that I kind of giggle at in some books, but nothing where, like, I don't know. I think comedy is just, it's a whole different ball game to try to write. Like, and it's like somebody who writes horror. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think when you have deep subjects like some of us write, you know, where things get brutal or hard to handle, sure, it's also essential to kind of break those scenes, mm-hmm, up, maybe show that the character, the opposite end of the character, you know, they might be gruff and hard boiled, but you can also either show like a bubblegum inside or something kind of fun and outlandish or, you know, strange and maybe just a bit uncomfortable that make the reader go, "Huh, so he does have a personality."
Yeah.
I think it's good to kind of blend when you're dealing with difficult subjects where, you know, the scenery or the scene is getting complicated. Yeah. To kind of break that up a little bit. And so I feel for my own work and my own mentality that I need to do that for my characters.
You bring up a good point, and it makes me think about my comedy book where it's like, okay, well, yeah, you need to have a short story in there about something that's emotional and it's sensitive, just to break that up a little bit. So that's a very valid point. I didn't think about, like, taking them off that comedy
aspect.
Jake's favorite word.
What did he say? I didn't hear.
Juxtaposition.
Oh.
He loves that word.
I do. Kathleen, did you have something to say?
Well, yes. And I'm going to thank M for that. Because I thought, oh, God, my book, my memoir is as serious as a heart attack, you know? But inside my head, there's a lot of humorous, funny thoughts that just, they might be one-liners or a short description of something that is funny in the midst of a really serious book about surviving sexual assault. And I had to go a little light on that just because I didn't want to offend any other, you know, I thought it might be offensive, but this was my story. So that was part of me. I laughed at things that probably weren't very funny, or my reaction was funny to something that was really serious. And a lot of funny things happened in my life, and I would just sort of throw those in throughout the book just to let people know that, like, there was light in my life too, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So
you showed the opposite side of the coin, which is really smart because it makes those other moments that much more impactful.
Yeah. And my readers, people, mostly people that I knew, said, oh my God, this was a tough read, but you were so funny in some cases, you know? So I knew that it got out there. And it was just really simple things, but it was thoughts that were in my head in the midst, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point, Kathleen, that a lot of comedy, and for Brown too, for his funny stories and everything, a lot of comedy can be real life experience. And again, mm-hmm. draw from what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you use everyday experiences, like if you take a tense situation, things, whatever's going on between a mother and daughter or two best friends, and all of a sudden the phone rings and it's like, you're a super freak or something like that as the ringtone. And that just kind of breaks up the entire your ringtone goes out super.
I just thought of one, and that I can beat that. We were at a wedding one time, and right at the moment the priest was like, does anybody have anything to say or whatever, right? Like, speak now or forever hold a peace. Someone's phone goes off. And it was back when ringtones were a big thing. And it was Black Cherry. She's a crazy bitch. She's a crazy bitch. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
at a wedding?
At a wedding.
Oh my gosh.
I right at that moment, like, what are the chances of that happening? What, like, it was hilarious. I mean, the crowd lost it laughing, but I don't know if that was planned or what, but it was funny. Like,
and see.
I mean, those are situations that you can use to kind of break up a tense scene, yeah. Do something kind of stupid or ironic. And it can work to kind of loosen those threads and make somebody chuckle.
That's okay. What we want to do with comedy.
Now y'all are making me want to get into my Fork in the Toaster book and do some writing in there.
You've got to when you're on first.
I know. I'm so close to getting this one done, though.
I will smack you upside the head.
I'm so close. I may have made myself a note during the show about something to put into that story.
But I just thought of something on mine. My main character is a very gruff person. And he goes outside his condo one day, and all of a sudden this black crow starts following him around. I mean, it's just like, go on, shoo! But the crow will not leave. And it's just one of those moments that's just kind of funny. And, you know, just using everyday things, the things that have happened to me that I use on my characters.
It's all about the levity.
Is that like an attempted murder? You could use that, like, oh God, they're attempting a murder on me. What?
But I mean, the crow would not leave him alone. It was just like everywhere he went, the crow was right at his feet. Yeah. So it was just one of funny, odd moments just to see a man like that going, shoot, get out of here. Go on, bird.
All right, Jake.
What?
You know what time that is?
I do. It's time for bed.
We're, well, no, no, but it's the end of our show. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Such a good song.
That's such a great song. Anyways, Jake, what are we talking about next week?
A good topic that Brandon is going to share with us.
Oh my God, your trigger warnings or reader warnings. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. But Jake, before we leave, where can people, what should people be doing and where can they listen to us?
Go and follow us on Facebook. I mean, it's not that hard to do. Just hop on over, log in, add us as, you know, something that you're following along with that you like.
Yeah.
And then obviously you can listen to us on any streaming platform, but we especially love it when you go to podbean.com, give us a like and a follow so you can stay updated and notified when new episodes drop.
Yes. And next week, we have a big deal next. Is it next week? Yes, next week. Guess what? We're hitting a milestone next week.
Yes.
You know what that milestone is, Jake?
No.
Next week is our 50th episode.
Ooh, that's
a big one.
50's a big deal.
50's a big number. Jake knows. He's been there a couple times.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to back you.
All right, everyone, we'll see you next week. We'll be talking about trigger warnings. We'll be here next week, 7 p.m. Central Time.
Central.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.